Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Welcome to the Church at Quell Creek on your TV. I'm Pastor Colin. I'm super excited you chose to join us today. This Sunday, Shane Kendricks is filling our pulpit. He's a regional catalyst for the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. He's pastored churches in both Texas and Oklahoma for 11 years, and today he is bringing that wealth of knowledge to you and your home. So listen in, and at the end of the church service, I'll be right back here for a message just for you.
I am excited about being here. Thank you to your pastor for giving me a blessing to be back with you. So if you have a copy of God's Word, and I pray that you do, turn to James chapter 1. I know you guys have gone through James the last couple of weeks, and so I have the privilege this morning to go through chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, and I'll read from that in just a moment. But a couple weeks ago, my family and I got to go on a vacation. And one of the things that my kids would ask, Dad, is there a place we can go that has like a mirror maze? And I said, well, I don't know. Let's Google it and see if we can find something that we could do like that. And so, if you've never been to a mirror maze, it's amazing. And so one of the hardest things that I think I've ever tried to do, when I was a kid, I went through a mirror maze, and honestly, I walked into a mirror and chipped my tooth. That was running through my mind as I was going through this mirror maze, but we got to this place, and you know, so it's me and my wife and my four kids, and they're 17, 13, 10, and 9, and so my 13-year-old daughter, she decided I can do it by myself, so she takes off. And the rest of us are standing there thinking to ourselves, what are we going to do? And so I'm watching my 17-year-old, and then I start watching my other 10-year-old daughter, and she's walking through the mirror maze with her hands out. That's kind of what I was thinking. Man, that's how I want to walk. But what I did was I stepped back and I let them lead the way. You know why that is? One, I'm a good father, and if they chip their tooth, I don't have to worry about it. So y'all understand what I'm saying? But no, they begin to walk through this mirror maze, and we got down to this long hall, and in the midst of this long hall, they had different kinds of mirrors that when you looked at these mirrors, they gave you a different kind of concept of what you look like. Y'all ever seen mirrors like that where you know, I'm a big guy, so I'll say it like this. They made me short and fat. And I was telling my wife, I'm like, well, they got the fat part right, but the short part they don't have right. And so I moved to the next mirror, and they made me real skinny and tall. And I'm like, this is me. I was looking at myself going, yes, how I have dreamed for a long time of looking like this. And my doctor was like, probably hearing that going, yes, Shane, we have dreamed for you to look like this for years. But I always tell my doctor, listen, it's taken me 46 years to get this physique. It's not coming off anytime easy. And so we begin to walk through that, and then all of a sudden, when we came to the end of that mirror maze, they told us to put on 3D glasses and walk backwards through the mirror maze. And I thought the first half was very hard. The second half was harder with the 3D glasses. And I found my way back in looking at these three different mirrors. And when you look in the mirror of how different sizes you are, you look different through the 3D glasses. It kind of reminded me as I was walking through that, it kind of reminded me of this passage in James. As James is writing this passage to the church and he's telling them over and over again, he said, here's what you have to be. Here's a command from God that we be doers of the word and not just hearers. There's a reflection of how, as we are, as Christ followers, there's this reflection that we give off just like a mirror. If we're supposed to live our life fully devoted, overflowing with Jesus in every aspect of our life, we're giving off a reflection of Jesus. Here's a question I want to ask before I read scriptures this morning. What kind of reflection are you giving off? I had to think long and hard as God laid that on my heart And he said, Shane, what kind of reflection are you giving off as a follower of Christ? You see, just as Brother Dale preached last week, I watched what he preached on because I knew I was coming this week. But he preached on these, and thank God he had to preach on them, because if I had to preach on these words, it would be terrible. But this is what verses 19 through 21 says as we look back. He said, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. I want you to grasp what James is saying as we look at this. He's saying, hey, if you can grasp anything, if you can hold on to anything, understand this one thing. Get this, that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. My wife always tells me, Shane, you spoke before you ever thought. Maybe that's just a man thing, and all the men said, nope, they didn't. Wives, quit elbowing your husbands. But when you think about it, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Now, verse 21, James writes these words. He said, therefore, for this reason, connect all of these things together of what I just spoke. Rid yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Humbly receive the implanted word. Oh, receive the word of God today, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Father, this morning I pray that you would just bless your word. Father, bless this time, Father, as we move forward through your word, as we look deeply into it. I pray that, Father, that we would ask the question, what kind of reflection am I for Jesus today? Am I the right reflection of drawing people to Jesus? Or am I the wrong reflection of pushing people away from Jesus? Whatever it is today, Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, that we would be different as it when we leave than it is when we came into this place today. Amen. Father, have your way this morning. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Two things this morning. If we are going to be doers of the word, we first, one, must make more room for Christ in our life. We must make more room for Christ in our life. Look at verse 21 again. He said, therefore, rid yourself of some moral filth. Did you catch what he said? If you're going to rid yourself, you've just got to get rid of some of the moral filth in your life. That's not what James is saying. James is saying that, hey, that we can't just say, you know what, Jesus, I want you as my Lord God, and I trust you as my Savior, and I'm giving you just parts of my life. That's not what James is saying. James is saying that, hey, if we want to persevere in this crazy world that we live in, we've got to get rid of all moral filth. And the evil that is so prevalent. And then he says, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Listen, prevalent is this widespread. Listen, every sin that we have in our life is widespread, that we've got to get rid of every sin in our life that so easily entangles us so we can reflect Jesus more. Amen. I thought of Matthew. When Matthew is with Jesus and Jesus is sitting down and he's talking to the disciples, and he said, for all who are weak and heavy laden, come to me. You ever thought about what Jesus is speaking there? He says, hey, for us followers of Christ, do you ever get tired? Do you ever get weary? Do you ever worry? Do you ever just think about things that probably we shouldn't worry about or think about because God's in control? He's saying, all come to me. Rid yourself from all of the world's problems and give it to me. Amen. You see, he even said, he said, ridding yourself of all moral filth. You ever stained your clothes? Mothers with children, you ever have your kids eating something and all of a sudden there's more food on their shirts than that went in their mouth? Wives, maybe your husband's that way. It's like me one time. I was almost to Clovis. Matter of fact, Kyle will know where this is at. I was at First Baptist Farwell preaching about 2 years ago. I was preaching there, and then I had to go to another town right outside of Lubbock. And I was having my coffee. And, you know, when you don't get the coffee lid all the way down on the coffee and you go to drink it, you know what happens? And it burns you. It's hot. I mean, unless you like cold coffee, and then I don't know why anybody would drink cold coffee. Amen. I mean, it's God's manna from heaven that it's hot and black and nice and rich. I mean, y'all've got good coffee outside, by the way. It was free. Makes it even better. But I was driving down the road, and I was not even thinking. I picked up my coffee mug, and I went to take a drink of it, and it just spilt all down my dress shirt. And I was supposed to speak that night at a church, and I thought to myself, this is why my wife tells me I should carry an extra dress shirt wherever I go. So I call my wife, and I tell her, it's like, you know what? You're not going to believe what I did. And she said, you spilt something on your clothes. And I said, how did you know? And she said, I just know you. And I said, yes. So I pulled over to the closest gas station that I could find, you know, and I walk in their bathroom and I have wet paper towels and I'm washing it off, only to find about 30 minutes later after it dries that I have a nice brown stain on my shirt. And I'm telling you, it was about this big on my shirt where it went down. And so luckily I had a jacket. I covered most of it up. But what James is saying here is, hey, just like those stained clothes, we sometimes want to take them off. We don't want to just keep wearing stained clothes. We want to take them off. Have you ever thought about the sin in your life? That Jesus Christ went to the cross, he shed his blood for the redemption of sin, for the remission of sin, and in the midst of that, he takes off all of the dirty stains that you have, placed it on himself, he died a death that we deserve, and he rose again now to sit at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He rid ourselves of sin. He did what no other person in this world would ever do for us. But you see, if we're going to be doers of the word, we've got to get more room for Jesus. You see, it's not just that we come to church on Sunday. It's not that we just go to a Sunday school class and hear the word of God. It's that we sit down with Jesus every day and ask God to fill us up so that we can not only just have this word of God in us and know the word of God, it's that we trust the word of God and ask God to guide us in everything that we do. Listen, if we're going to accept the truth after salvation, we must make more room for Christ and the Word by removing the impurities of evil in our life. And we do that by spending more time with God, because listen, the more time that we spend with God, we understand that the evilness around the world. I don't know about you, but have you watched the news lately? Isn't the news crazy? I have a friend of mine that right outside of Abilene is a news station, and he was a former deacon of mine at a church that I pastored, and he ran the TV station, and I had coffee with him about a year ago, and I told him, I said, hey brother, man, is there anything positive that y'all could put on the news? And he said, you know, we just had a staff meeting, and I told our reporters to go find something positive to put on the news. And I'm thinking, how hard is that to find? You know what his answer was? It's hard to find positive things. And I'm thinking, well, we just like to make stuff up anyway. Just make something up, put it on TV, and call it positive. And he said, we can't do that. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't do that. But listen, half the stuff we read on the news anyway, probably not true anyway. You know? I mean, listen, if we're going to accept the truth of God's word, We've got to put it deep into our heart and trust God and say, God, just like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that God, that I'm trusting you, that I walk by faith and not by sight, God, because I'm putting you deep into my life, God, and I'm trusting you, God, and I'm going to live out my faith in obedience to you. I don't know about you, but there's always going to be conflict. The closer we get to Jesus, the more conflict we're going to have. Amen? Amen. Listen, maybe some of you that I'm looking at this morning would say, well, I don't have any conflict. My question to you would be, how close to Jesus are you? You're either going into a storm or coming out of a storm, or you're in the midst of a storm. Amen. And all of us are going to go through hard times in life. I wish that I could be one of those preachers that could stand up here this morning, and I would probably never be asked back if I did this, but if I was one of those preachers that stood up and smiled at you and said that once you become a Christian and once you give your life to Jesus, you'll never have any more problems. I don't read that in Scripture. I think Scripture begins to tell me that the closer I get to Jesus, the more Satan wants to work in my life to draw me apart from Jesus. And in the midst of trying to pull me apart from Jesus, what we need more is of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've got conflict in my life, and I'm sure you've got conflict in your life, and I continue to tell Jesus every single day, God, I don't understand why we're going through this problem, God, but I trust you. You see, I told you that I've got 4 kids. I've got 2 biological kids, 2 kids that we adopted when I was pastoring in Oklahoma. We got to adopt 2 kids. And when I talk about adopt 2 kids, man, we were so excited that I was like, God, if we're going to adopt 2, let's adopt 100. I mean, it was great. And then all of a sudden I noticed that one of my children really suffered. Fast forward 5.5 years, God has really blessed us with a great family. But just recently, over the last 4 months, my 13-year-old daughter started having some medical problems. God, I don't understand. See, the doctor said, I don't know what's going on with her. We've got to do a test. We've got to do this test. We've got to do this test. And we've got to do this test. Truly didn't understand. We did test after test after test. The doctor began to say, well, we're doing this because, you know, something's wrong with her liver. And so she could have cancer at the age of 13. She could have this. She could have this. We really don't know. And yet conflict begins to happen because all of a sudden I am starting to doubt, why God? And I find myself one morning crying out to God. And I'm being honest with you this morning. I was crying out to God. God, I don't understand why my child has to go through all of this, but yet I don't get it, God. I don't understand, God. I don't understand why you would send a person like me, God, that feels like they're close to you through all of these problems, God, and watching my child go through test after test after test. And here's one morning in my quiet time what God shared with me. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Now, wait a minute, God. You want me to say that I've got to have joy in the midst of all of these trials? God, here it is that I feel like I'm overflowing because, God, I'm just putting you all in my life. And he's saying, yes, consider it great joy, because the more that we begin to praise God in the midst of the storm, God's going to continue to work. Amen. But consider it great joy. Because this is what he spoke to me about. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Amen. Never forget what we're going to go through produces endurance for us to always make room more for Jesus. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter what we do in life. Listen, we all need Jesus more. Amen. Listen, some of us are sitting here this morning and said, you know what? I'm not really overflowing with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? You need to overflow with Jesus. And the only way that we can actually be doers of God is to make sure that we're spending time with God. Amen. We can't just go, 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 go. Because we're going to be empty. It's kind of like your car. Now, some of you probably have run your car out of gas. Amen? Some of you are not confessing. He's talking to you. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I get in my wife's car all the time, and it's got like 5 miles to empty. Ladies, I don't understand that. I mean, do you know how to read the gas gauge as well? I mean, get out and get some gas. I mean, I got in my wife's car the other day. We were going to eat somewhere. I took the kids out to eat with my wife, and I got in, and all of a sudden it started dinging. It had 3 miles to empty. And I'm thinking, how do you drive it this low? She made a joke and says, well, I'm living by faith. Well, unfortunately, we're not going to make it anywhere down the road. But have you ever thought about how we've got to consider ourselves? Because listen, we're always going to be around conflict because there's conflict between the will of God and our will. And the more impurities we remove, the closer we get to Jesus. The more that we begin to remove of the world, the closer we draw to Jesus. You see, he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, but rid yourself of all moral filth. You see, if we're going to live out our faith in obedience, secondly, and be doers of the word, we've got to put into action what we have learned from the word. We've got to put into action what we've learned from the word. Listen to verse 22. He said, but be doers of the word. Listen to what he said. He said, therefore, rid yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But, man, have you ever thought? I've got four kids, and I keep talking about my kids. They make great sermon illustrations. I tell them, y'all don't travel with me because I'm going to talk about you. But I've got a 9-year-old son that's always, I'll tell him what to do, and he'll say, but Dad, why? Why, Dad? And I'm thinking to myself, because I said so. Any other parent that way, because I said so? You know, I remember growing up, you know, I'm from southwest Oklahoma, and my dad, you know, he farmed a lot, and so he'd be like, hey, go clean out the irrigation ditches, you know, because we got to run water. Why? Well, I ain't doing that. I don't want to do that, Dad. Well, you're gonna. Okay, well, as soon as he left with the shovel, I had the shovel. I've stood there. I'm like, I ain't doing it. He drives back around. I'm like, okay, Dad. You know, that's what I think here. He said, therefore, rid all yourself of all moral filth and humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul, but be doers of the word. Why, God? Why do we have to get rid of all of this moral filth? Because God is saying, point blank, that we've got to be doers of the word. Amen. Not just hearers, but we got to be motivated to go and do. Because, this is what I love, be doers of the word and not only hearers only, deceiving yourself, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his face in the mirror, for he forgets what he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. I don't think there's a single person here this morning that will ever forget what they look like. Some of us are pretty. Some of us, need a lot of work. I looked at myself this morning in the mirror and texted my wife and said, I'm ready to go to church. And she said, don't smile. But have you ever thought about if we just continue to read the word of God but never put it into action? I want you to hear me this morning. If I just become a disciple maker of just reading the word to myself, but I don't put it into action, what good is it doing? What good is it doing? Because there are lost people all around us that want to hear about Jesus. I was at a coffee shop in Abilene, where I live. I was meeting with some pastors one morning, and we finished up praying that morning. And I had a manager that came over to me and said, hey, Shane, are you guys like some preachers? And I said, just on Sundays. And she said, oh, so you're probably not working today? I said, I only work one day a week. I mean, you know, the rest of it, I just sit around and drink coffee all the time. And she took me serious, and I said, I'm joking. And then I realized you can't tell lost people that because they believe it, you know. And then I'm like, man, you know, for the kingdom, we'll just work all the time. But I begin to say, yeah, we're, you know, we preach, you know, this one preaches here, this one's the pastor here, this one's here, here, here. And she said, but can I ask you something? And I said, what's that? She said, could you pray for me? Amen. And I said, absolutely. What's going on? I said, matter of fact, won't you have a seat? You don't just stand up, have a seat, you know, she's the manager. She began to say, my four-year-old son is nonverbal and he's becoming abusive. And I said, man, sorry to hear that. What specifically do you want me to pray for? She says, well, we had to take him out of school. And I said, oh, well, where was he in school? Because right down the road, I said, right down the road is this school. Was he in that school? And she said, well, we were thinking about putting him there. I said, hey, you should. My wife, get this, my wife is a speech therapist. And I said, she works at that school. And I said, I bet you she could probably give you some help on how to help your son speak. She said, that'd be great. But I said, well, how can I pray for you? And I said, are you married? And she says, I am married. And I said, well, how can I pray for you and your husband? And she says, I want to tell you something. She said, I don't have a husband, but I have a wife. I said, oh, right on. I didn't have a crazy look on my face. I just said, okay, right on. What's her name? She told me. And I said, well, I'm going to be praying for you and her. So I said, let's pray right now. Amen. I go back in 2 days later, and she said, hey, thank you so much for praying. And I said, hey, it's not just about praying. I stopped in today to get a cup of coffee on my way out of town. I could have went through the drive-thru, but I wanted to stop in here and see you because I wanted to invite you to church. I want you to know what she said. She looked at me and said, Shane, I appreciate that. She said, I'm probably not welcome at that church. And I said, guess what? I'm not either. I just show up. I mean, I'm dead serious. Because I want you to understand something. We're not all welcome. But by the blood of Jesus, we are born, blood-bought, saved sinners that were bound for hell. Amen. And it's because of what Jesus has done that we're all welcome in the family. And I told her that, hey, I may not be welcome, you may not be welcome, but Jesus has made us all welcome into the family because we're so glad to be a part of the family of God. And she said, I'll give that some thought. And I said, you think long and hard about that, and I'll be back in a couple days. And Gail, you know what? I'm going to invite you back to church. I told her, I said, hey, I went back, said Easter's coming up. Y'all should come. And she says, I don't think I'm ready for that. You know why she's not ready? Because she knows that she's convicted of what she's doing, and God is the ultimate judge, and God's going to judge her and going to, listen, not only judge her, but only God can change her. But what happens if I said to myself, you know what, I just want to be a hearer of the word but not a doer, and I don't want to put it into action. I would sit there and I would talk to people and I would leave and I would never say anything about how much Jesus loves you. And listen, people would never hear the gospel. I was 18 years old when I got saved. I heard the gospel numerous times, and I began to say to myself, man, there must be something really special about this man named Jesus. Man, he changed me. And now I just want to tell everybody around me about how good God is. Listen, we sing that song, Goodness of God, because God is good. He has done great things for us, and yet we want to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. But God is telling us if we're going to put it in action, we've got to do what it says. Amen. We've got to become doers. Listen to the command. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Pray for those around you. Worship God in the midst of the hard times in life. Listen, I'm going to tell you this morning that in the midst of the hard times in life, that really should draw us closer to God. And even in the good times of life, we should still be so full of God that all we're doing is running over. And when we're sweating or whatever we're doing, we're praising God for it. But I want you to notice, after we put it into action, notice the promise. Look at the end of verse 25. Let me just read all of verse 25. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed. What's it say? This person will be blessed in, what's it say right there? In what he does. Amen. Did you realize this morning that God is a God of blessings? Listen, y'all remember that hymn, praise God from all who blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know why we can sing that? Because God keeps his promise. Throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God has made a promise. And you know what? He's never broken a promise. Even though we've made promises that we haven't kept. God, I promise. Oh, God, I promise. If you'll do this, God, I'll do that. God does it, and we back out. As a lost person, I remember making many promises to God. God, if you get me out of this trouble I'm in, I promise I'll be on the front row of the church. Listen, you know good and well, y'all two are the only, three of you are only Baptists that sit on the front row. Three over there, too, so six of you. Y'all should learn something. About the only church I've been to, people sit on the front row. That's not the preaching staff. Bless your hearts. Lucky y'all are not in the spit zone, though. But have you ever thought about it? Even in Joshua 1, where Joshua finds out Moses, my servant, is dead, and God promises him to take the children of Israel over to the promised land. And what does he say? I will be with you. That nobody will have anything against you. And to what? Be courageous. Don't fear. Don't have any problems. Don't worry about it. Because I promise you I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. You see, when we get serious about following Jesus, we overflow with grace. We overflow with forgiveness. We overflow because if we show Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 17, I think it is verse 17, my son quoted it the other day, and he said that Jesus was full of grace and truth. That's how we should be. When somebody hurts us, grace and truth. Because everything we do, if we do it for the Lord, we could sing about God's praises. Why? Because we're putting into action what he's called us to do. Amen. Listen to me, church. If there's one thing that we need to do more of in this world, and that's to be forgivers, amen, not condemners. And he's saying that we've got to love people like Jesus and tell people about what Jesus has done in our life. Listen, some people would tell me, say, Shane, I really don't know how to share the gospel. It's very easy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I was asked a couple months ago, hey, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm in the life insurance business. And they said, really? I was needing to quote. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm in eternal life insurance business. They said, what's that? And I said, I'm telling people about eternal life because, listen, we're either going two places when we die, heaven or hell. And Jesus said we don't have to go to hell, but yet we condemn ourselves to hell because we don't trust in Jesus. And this person said, now, wait a minute, what does that mean? And I'm like, hey, God said he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world is already condemned through him, and yet what we need is more of Jesus. Amen. Church, I don't know about you today. But are you a hearer? And are you a hearer that is being a doer? Or is there something more that you know today that God has called you to do something that you've said, God, I'm not going to do it because I know that there's going to be someone else out there that can do it. Listen, I know for a fact churches are full of people that would always say, you know what, if someone else will just do it, it would be great. Listen, but maybe today God is calling you to do it. Amen. Maybe God is calling you to do something great for Him, because when we begin to humble ourselves before God, God does something great in us and through us. Amen. So what's He calling you to do? Be doers of the Word by putting more of Jesus in our life. Maybe you would say today, you know what? I'm not full of Jesus, but today I can be full. Amen. I'm not full, but I can be. And maybe today He's calling you to do something great. Whatever it is. I remember the first time, right after I got saved, y'all remember these old country churches, you know, they always did the offering, and you know, the sanctuary was like probably like just these two rows anyway. And I remember the pastor come up to me like right as the service was starting. He's like, "Hey Shane, I need you to pray over the offering." I'm like, "What's that?" I think I was saved like a month. And he's like, "You know, we pass the plate and expect people to put money in it." It's like, "Oh, you expect people to put money in there?" Like, "I don't have a job." He's like, "Oh, you're exempt from that." No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. Nobody's exempt from, listen, I don't know where the boxes are, but make sure you put your money in there. That's why I came today. Craig will like that real well. But no, but he had me pray, and I remember sitting down, and I remember just saying, what do you say? And I remember I leaned over, my father-in-law at the time, he's still a deacon, but I leaned over and I said, "Hey, here's a stupid question, what do you say?" And he said, "Well, just pray, just be natural." Okay. What to say? Be natural? You don't want me to be natural. But you know what? God got me through it. You know why? Because I was relying on Him. Amen. Be reliable and rely on Jesus more than we rely on ourselves. Because watch what God can do not only in you, but through you. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Father, I just pray this morning that, Lord, as we come to the end, that, Father, there may be someone here this morning that would say, "You know what, I haven't really spent much time with You. I'm not living out of the overflow." And maybe, Lord God, there'd be somebody here today that says, "You know what, I've been a sitter, just a pew warmer for a long time, but Lord, I know that You have called me to action. And Lord, I'm really not ready to go, God, but God, I know that You want to use me. And the only way that You can use me, God, is if I become faithful." So Father, I pray right now for all of us that are in this place this morning, that Lord, that You would speak to us, because Lord God, You have something great for us. Father, just not only as individuals, but for a church, Lord God, that, Father, that we would do what You would call us to do as a whole body. Because, Lord God, You are good. See, with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I don't know what God's telling you, but I promise you that if you would say yes to God today and say, "God, I'm not only going to be a hearer, but I'm going to be a doer." Watch what God can do in your life. Father, speak to us now. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. If today, while you heard the message, you felt a call in your heart to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would love to know about it. You can contact us through our church website or by contacting our office directly. We would love to walk you through the steps of knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. As always, thanks for joining us today at the Church of Quell Creek. We hope to see you in person or right here next week at the same time. God bless you. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know Him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org. Or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.